Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Multi-billionaire and Microsoft founder Bill Gates and his wife Melinda have announced that they're to divorce after 27 years of marriage. The couple together founded the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, through which billions are donated to charitable works around the world. In 2019, a Netflix documentary series called Inside Bill's Brain gave us an insight into the relationship of the famous couple.
Well, when we first met, she had other boyfriends and I had Microsoft. You know, we were like, hey, we're not really serious about each other, are we? We're not going to demand each other's time.
I was new to Microsoft. There were a lot of men there. and, you know, you're still looking around, you know, you're still figuring it out.
But after about a year of that, you know, sort of to our surprise, certainly my surprise, we said, hey, I love you. And she said she loved me. And then it was like, wow. And now what is going to happen?
Bill wanted to be married, but he didn't know whether he could actually commit to it and have Microsoft.
You know, we cared a lot for each other, and there were only two possibilities. Either we were going to break up or we were going to get married.
If it wasn't going to work with him, I would have moved on. I knew I would move on. He had to make a decision. And one day I walked in his bedroom and his whiteboard had the pros and the cons of getting married.
Bill and Melinda Gates there. Now, in a moment, we'll take a closer look at the legal implications of their decision and what their divorce settlement might look like. But first, I'm joined on the line by Jenny Darmody from Silicon Republic. Good morning, Jenny.
Hi, Claire. Thanks for having me.
The news of their planning to divorce came as a surprise to many people because, as I said earlier, 27 years of marriage behind them.
Yeah, well, they even just bought a house, actually, in April last year. They bought a massive beach house outside San Diego together. So, yeah, it would come as a surprise to many people. But I think based on how they've announced the news together and they seem to have come to an agreement sort of already before filing for divorce, I doubt it's a shock within the inner circle. And to them, I don't think this is a shock divorce to them. I think it's just a very controlled releasing of information.
Mm-hmm. Okay, or else it's well presented and we might not know the answers to those questions. They met in 1994 and we heard Melinda there talking about when they met, she joined Microsoft. He had accumulated huge wealth already at that point, hadn't he?
He had. So because he founded Microsoft, which became one of the most powerful companies in the world, and when it went to its first initial public offering, he owned 49% of the company. That's what kind of made him the multimillionaire that he became. And then it expanded and became more wealthy, and he became more wealthy. And that's how he became a billionaire.
Okay. And what is the scale of their wealth?
So last I checked, I mean, I think they are together worth a bit more, but his net worth is about $137 billion. It depends on what you read, but mm-hmm. That's the Bloomberg Billionaires Index ranking from February.
And he's given a commitment to give away half of his fortune before he dies?
Yeah, so that's part of the giving pledge. It was set up in 2010 with Warren Buffett, and it has a number of other world leaders and billionaires that are on the list, including Mark Zuckerberg and like Bloomberg and George Lucas.
And he also committed that he would give, or announced publicly, each of his three children $10 million each. I mean, that's an awful lot of money, but it's in the context of his wealth, it's probably not a sizable amount when you consider what he's worth. Now, the couple together, they run the foundation. Will you tell us a little bit about the work that it does?
Yeah, so the foundation, it was set up together. They set it up together in 2000, and it focuses on a wide range of initiatives, ranging from global health and poverty alleviation, and also a focus on U.S. education. And more recently, what everybody might know about is the funds that they've put into researching the coronavirus and trying to solve that problem and putting money into the vaccine research and things like that. So it would be wide-ranging and global, but one of the biggest and most well-known things lately is its fight against COVID-19.
And what have they said since they made this announcement last night about the foundation? How will this impact it?
Well, it's hard to see exactly how it'll impact the foundation, but they will continue to work on it together. So that's another kind of... as you said, we don't know what will come out in the coming days and weeks about the actual divorce, but because they're working together on the foundation and will continue to do so, it appears to be fairly amicable.
Okay, it's the second high profile divorce we've seen in the super rich tech arena in recent years. And I'm referring, of course, to the Amazon boss Jeff Bezos' separation from his wife, Mackenzie Scott. Their divorce resulted in her becoming the world's fourth richest woman. Is a similar settlement, would you say, on the cards for Melinda Gates?
It's definitely hard to say how much money Melinda Gates is going to get, but the difference, I suppose, there is the Jeff Bezos divorce, Mackenzie Scott, was much more explosive, much more one-sided, I would say, which is how she walked away with, I think it was about $38 billion she walked away with. Now, she has promised to give it all away to charity, but this seems to be a much more amicable. They've done it together. They've come out with joint statements. It didn't fall out the same way. So I don't think the same... I think there was not a grab for money, but like more of a going after of Jeff Bezos, whereas this seems very amicable. She might get a very, very sizable fund, but it will definitely have been agreed upon between the two of them.
All right, Jenny, thank you very much. Jenny Darmody there from Silicon Republic. And let's take a further look at the legal side of all of this. I'm joined on the line by Deirdre Burke, who's partner and head of family law at Orpen Frank Solicitors. Good morning, Deirdre.
Good morning, Claire.
Going on what you would see happening in an Irish legal setting, what do you believe is likely to happen in this divorce settlement between Bill and Melinda Gates?
I think what's interesting, well, I think this is interesting for a number of reasons, but the first one would be the fact that it does appear, as your previous interviewer said, that it is going to be an amicable settlement. And I think I'd slightly disagree in relation to comparing the two divorces, the Bezos divorce and this divorce, from the point of view of high conflict yielding more, because very often an amicable settlement can actually, in my experience, yield more. And I think there's another interesting comparison between the two divorces in that Mackenzie Scott actually helped set up Amazon, whereas in this situation, Melinda actually came along to the relationship after Microsoft was established. Now, Mackenzie went away, I think, with about a quarter of the net worth that was there in the Bezos divorce. So I think it will be really interesting if we actually get to find out at all what the settlement is that Melinda gets here. So I actually think the fact that it's amicable and they're approaching this with some level of maturity might actually yield better results for Melinda.
Okay. Yeah, we're all assuming it's amicable, aren't we? But I mean, don't forget what kind of PR teams these people will have.
Absolutely. The only thing that would lead me to think that it's likely to be amicable is the fact that if they are going to continue to work together in the foundation, that's unusual. And I would often, even in the most amicable of divorces, advise people that you are better to go for that clean break where you actually disengage completely and you don't continue to work together, where I would work with people who have companies and both are involved. Very often we try to see them set up independently afterwards. But if you're going to work together, you have to have a really, really good relationship and you have to continue that working relationship as you go mm-hmm. forward. So I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in actual fact. Do they continue to work together with that foundation?
Have you ever seen it work where couples who divorce or separate continue to work together successfully?
Yes, I have. But as I say, it's a rarity and it does require a massive level of communication skills and really still having that good civil working together relationship. Now, remember, they have children. Now, they're from 18 to 25. They have three children, 25, 21, and 18 are their ages. So whilst they're technically adults, I'd imagine that the younger two are probably still in college. They've still got a bit of work to do to communicate with raising them and getting them through college. So when you factor children into a divorce as well, you always have to have ongoing communication, and the more civil you can make that, the better.
Okay, and you said there when you mentioned the Jeff Bezos example that his ex-wife got a quarter of his fortune. So this, because Melinda came along after Microsoft was set up, she's likely to get less than a quarter, are you saying?
That's a factor that would be a negative on her side in relation to it, but they live in Washington State, and Washington State works a community property family law division, which means that assets acquired during the marriage are considered communal, and they're usually split equally. So the interesting fact for Melinda is that the bulk of the wealth was generated before the marriage, but yet, as I understand it, most of the wealth has now moved from Microsoft into the foundation, which she set up with him and which she's involved in. So that shifts it again a little bit back towards her. So it's really interesting to watch how this plays out.
And also, Deirdre, the length of the marriage, you know, 27
Absolutely.
Years.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would have dealt with divorces where people would have been married perhaps only 6 months all the way up to 40 years. And the length of your marriage is a really important factor when you're looking at how to divide assets on divorce. The longer the marriage, the more you've been involved, the more equal the division is likely to be. But one thing we always have to remember is that equitable division doesn't always mean equal. So when people go in looking for equality, it's not always what comes out. The court has to be satisfied that what has happened is actually proper financial provision, and that doesn't always mean equal.
So what does equitable mean then in that context?
What means with equitable means fair, and it means fair taking into account a huge range of factors. And this would be principles that the Washington courts also apply. So they would look at, for example, is there a prenup? What have the couple decided? What did each party do to contribute to the relationship? What are their ages? What is their health like? What is the situation with regard to children? And what, at the end of the day, does one person need for their financial security and security of accommodation as you go forward? So all of those factors have to be balanced in to ensure that people are provided for. And that, I suppose, that the level of that provision is dependent upon the wealth that is to be divided.
Okay.
But it doesn't always mean 50-50.
I think some people were surprised last night at this news because they seemed like a couple that was so in tune together. And we played the clip from the Netflix series. Also, after 27 years, you'd wonder, you know, why come to this conclusion now? But are you seeing more people later in life who are deciding to go their separate ways?
Absolutely. And there's been what some people refer to as the grey trend in divorces, where we have a lot of, I would have dealt with a lot of people in their 60s, 70s. I think the oldest client I dealt with was possibly 86 when we dealt with a divorce. And people just realize that I suppose whatever number of years you have left are there to be spent in the best way possible. And sometimes that means separate to the person you've spent the past years with. So yes, all ages definitely, and certainly a more openness in the older generations now to consider divorce.
Oh God, I'm still thinking about the person who was 86,
yeah,
coming to you to
yeah.
seek a divorce. So you go through that yeah. long process at 86 years of age to reach a point where you have your final years, as you say, living them in the way that you want to.
Absolutely, and they both in that case came to it with, like this couple apparently, whether it's PR or reality, they both came to it with a sense of maturity. This is what we both want to do to make the rest of our lives as the best that they can be. And there's that mutual respect that is there when people come to that situation as well. And not always, because obviously you've got the mad conflict situations as well. But if you can bring that respect and maturity to it, it can work out beautifully for both people.
Are most divorces that you deal with acrimonious, or are they calm, or do they start acrimonious and end calm? How would you characterise them in the main?
I would say that unfortunately most are conflicted, and I would say that also the impact of COVID over the last 18 months, whatever length of time we've been like this, has led to more conflict. I would unfortunately see more conflict involving children. I'd say I'd probably split my files, Claire, two-thirds, one-third, where maybe one-third are amicable. But I think that what I would say, I suppose, as a saver to that, is that most cases ultimately settle. No matter how conflicted they start out at, most people ultimately agree things. But the key to an amicable resolution, I think, is front-load the information. Get your information as soon as possible, understand the consequences and what's at stake, and then it more likely you will realize there's a cost saving, there's an emotional saving in relation to moving things forward amicably.
Deirdre, good to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed, Deirdre Burke,
all,
partner and head of family law at Orpen Frank Solicitors. Now, the former CEO of Boher has until 5 o'clock today to answer questions about the missing money at that charity. We'll have the latest after the break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.